The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Great crowds accompanied Jesus on his way, and he turned and spoke to them. If any man comes to me without hating his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, and his own life too, he cannot be my disciple. Anyone who does not carry his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And indeed, which of you here, intending to build a tower, would not first sit down and work out the cost to see if he had enough to complete it? Otherwise, if he lay down the foundation and then found himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers would all start making fun of him and saying, "Here is a man who started to build and was unable to finish." Or again, what king marching to war against another king would not first sit down and consider whether there is 10,000 men he could stand up to the other who advanced against him with 20,000. If not, then while the other king was still a long way off, he would send envoys to sue for peace. So, in the same way, none of you can be my disciple unless he gives up all his possessions. The Gospel of the Lord.
I think St. Luke's portrayal of Jesus is normally very merciful, sensitive, gentle, and kind. And yet when it comes to the question of possessions, whether it's emotional or material, he is very demanding. He insists on giving unconditional preference to Christ over any other attachment. So some of the things you've just heard him say to us in the Gospel can be a bit hard to understand. Problems of interpretation. What does he mean by hating your own family or your husband or your wife, particularly if you're sitting next to each other at the moment? Does every follower of Jesus have to give up everything, every sort of last cent? Are we to take these words literally? Or are they the words in the way of a sort of device of preachers who present the audience with a symbol either or option, but at the same time don't hesitate to use exaggeration for effect? Well, always the first principle in scriptural interpretation is to compare the text we've heard with the rest of the scriptures. That's why people that can knock on your door and quote one bit of scripture to you very often need you to be able to respond, but I'm not saying you can necessarily do it, but with another bit, because it's the whole word of God that builds up the jigsaw, not one bit of it. So you take what Jesus has said to us here, but alongside it, there are many passages in the scriptures that speak about loving others, about even loving enemies, hating father and mother. I mean, it says this, the fourth commandment is honor your father and your mother. So what is Jesus really saying when he's using that word hate? We know he can't mean to loathe, despise, and willfully harm your family, because that's at absolute odds with what the rest of the scriptures are saying. What it really means is to love a little less, or to give priority always to the call of Christ. If Jesus is God, he's calling us total commitment to all of us. To all of us. And so he's saying we love a little less others in order that our whole can be given to him. So in a way, it's a preacher's art, but it's also hyperbole, which is, of course, we often use. If you don't believe me, sometimes you'll say if you're hungry, oh, I could eat a horse. Well, you don't mean that. If somebody had to cut the horse up and serve it out just like that, we use words like that. Jesus is using it in that way. But he's really trying to say that to be a disciple of mine, nothing has got to get in the way. Because at the end of it, we walk the cross alone. And I always remember Richard Rutt, who was, as some of you know, Canon Richard Rutt, who was an Anglican bishop, then of course became a Catholic, speaking to us in Lourdes on the Feast of the Holy Cross, which is next Saturday. And he said, and I've never forgotten it, it was 1982. Senior moments do come, but I've never forgotten this. And he said, suffering brings loneliness. And the loneliness is aloneness. And he pointed to the cross and he said, the Lord was alone on the cross. And the Lord was alone carrying the cross. And then you say, and he went on to say, oh, but Simon of Cyrene helped him carry a cross. And his mother met him on the way. Yes. But it was his cross. And he carried it. And that's what he's meaning. Each of us, their own cross is what the Lord gives us, and we walk it with him. Yes, with him. But nevertheless, as you know, walking along yourselves, there can be that loneliness. How the Lord cried on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He even felt that desertion by the Father. He said, nothing can come between the love of God shown to us in Christ Jesus and whatever. So he's not saying you hate your family and turn them out and put them on the streets and all that, or you loathe the person you're sitting next to. You've been married in St. Isaac. It was Celia's 80th birthday and Colin presented flowers and they'd been married 56 years. And it's not, I think you get the drift of what I'm saying. It's not that we loathe, hate, or anything like that. It's just a little less so that nothing gets in the way of following Christ. And that's why he picks it up with those two stories about the builder, whether he's got the ability to finish his building, or whether he's got to, what's going to happen, or the general going into battle, are we going to win or not? We know we have to do that in our own lives too. We're not daft and silly when it comes to evaluating if we want to take on a new project or a new job or a hobby or whatever it is. And we try in the same way encourage people to in marriage, a long preparation, because you're undertaking the biggest step. We need to weigh up all the things. Well, the Lord is saying, when you become my disciple, this is what you have to do. You weigh it all up, because what the Lord lays on us is that cross. And it's the psalmist that says, I have no love for half-hearted people. My love is for your law. And that's what we want, the law of Christ, Jesus himself. And that's the tough, demanding side of our faith. And it runs absolutely counterculture to a society which cries out for every gratification of every desire or feeling. So if you feel that's right for you, get on and do it. It doesn't matter. And there's even a suspicion that if you are voluntary self-denial, as it were, then you've got some sort of pathological condition. There's little appetite for people to opt for the life of the spirit over the life of the flesh. If the flesh is saying all the seven sins, the deadly sins that we used to hear about, if they're tempting you, give in to them. What does it matter? And the Lord, of course, is saying the absolute opposite. If you want to be my disciple, and it's why our churches always have it, all the way around the walls, if you walk in this way around, it's following, picking up my cross, going along with me. That's what God gives us to follow. But that is what it involves being a Christian. The first sign we receive in our baptism is that sign of the cross. I've often said, before anything else happens, before the oils, the waters, the white garment, the candle, any of all that, the first sign, we sign them with the sign of the cross, because that's the way of following. And that's the way Jesus calls us to walk with him, to abandon our attachment to the world, our old self dying, as it were, to the old humanity, so that the new creation, he becomes and is that new creation, can shine forth in our lives.